So my apologies. On my desk, on my right side of my desk, are my notes. And I had a message that I had just given in San Jose, which I hadn't given here. So my notes were on the intertestamental period, the time between Malachi and the emergence of John the Baptizer. Those 400 years were silent. So we'll endure another 2 weeks of silence before we get into it. But that intertestamental period is so important for the foundation of Jesus Christ and the beginning of preaching of the gospel. So we do want to go into that. However, let's go on with what I gave in San Jose. There is a statement attributed to a man from a few centuries ago, a priest, Francis of Assisi. And if you look it up, there's a controversy whether it came from him or not. And there's controversy whether the quote is accurate or not. That's okay. I want to move on from the quote. It's purported that he admonished his students, preach often, use words if necessary. Preach often, use words if necessary. And in some regard, the actual quote is, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. But I did some research on Francis of Assisi, and he liked words. He liked to talk. He liked to preach. So was this telling us or his students that words were not necessary? Actually, another discussion was, preach the gospel at all times and use words to illuminate. But it's important to preach the gospel at all times, preach often with what we do and what we say. I thought it was a profound statement, even if it's we can't guarantee the statement is true. The inference is that we are to teach and do so by example. Use words to explain the reasoning behind our actions, because all of us are going to have to give an account for what we do and what we say. We preach, the word preach in the New Testament is often tied to the explanation of the gospel, teaching and illuminating the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's why we're here. We want to be a different person. We want to be in the kingdom that's coming. And that preaching is to be by example, literally what we do and what we say. And as we talked about in that first little message, it's from the heart. Everything we do and say needs to come from the heart. Because there is coming a time for all of us when what we do and what we say will be analyzed. Our life will be analyzed by what we do and what we say. We'll have to give an account for our calling, for our being part of the body of Christ. Let's start in Romans 10. Romans 10. I like this room. The temperature is just nice. Of course, I have the fan going. You don't have the fan there, but I have the fan closer. I feel it. So Romans 10. In verse 11, he says, for the 10, 11, 13, yeah. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. When I first started, I was ashamed of being different than the world. It was hard as a teenager to be different than the world. And I was called out on Christmas because in my brilliance, we were asked to give an essay, and I gave an essay of what I discovered about Christmas. That was exciting. It was brand new, and I wrote about how Christmas was incorrect. And I was called out in class, and I tried to shrink myself down. I was embarrassed to be called out for the gospel. Truth is, today, let's go. I'm happy to tell you about the scriptures. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. it's life and death. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can the world call on Jesus Christ and they have not believed him? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They don't know him and they haven't heard of him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? There needs to be a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now I realize all of us are sent. In my early days, I realized God's calling is very personal to me. I am now a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of God. I am heading toward glory in God's kingdom. Powerful stuff. It's so personal. God called me by name. It wasn't a grab bag and I'll stay with Fred and throw the rest away. Then I realize God's calling isn't about me. It's now who I interact with. It's how being an example to everyone around me. I have to do and say the things that represent the coming kingdom. So my calling is personal, but it's also about everyone else. It's also about everyone else. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Every one of us, by our example, by what we do and what we say, preach the gospel. It's not just for the ministry. It's for the members of the body of Christ. 1 Peter, how do I know this? 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Literally set apart God's word in your heart. Make it profoundly the first place you go to. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that lies in you. Ready to give a defense. Why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you keep the holy days? Why do you not eat pork? Why do you not eat shellfish? Why do you keep the high days? Why are you different? And we are to give a defense. We are to give an answer. Because we, in doing so, we preach the gospel to whoever asks us. And why would they ask us? It's because they see an example that's different than them. When I was in my teens and I had the opportunity and I was ashamed of being different, that was a great opportunity to share the gospel. I hid. I shrunk. I tried to run away. I didn't want to be different. And that lasted for years in my school years. It was difficult. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, in the hearts, from the mind. And always be ready to give an answer. I think the King James Version says answer as opposed to defense. To give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope. There was times at work, people were asking me, why am I not upset over this issue that was taking place in the world or that catastrophe? Because I know the end of the story. I'm living a different life. Give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that lies in you. And that hope is the hope of salvation, the joy of salvation. With meekness and fear. You know, we don't use it as a cudgel. We don't beat people over the head with God's word. Because God has to open their minds to truly understand it. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. We don't break the law around us, but if they're going to revile us, let it be over God's word and let them be ashamed when God's word is revealed to them. We have to give an answer for the example of our life. Albert Schweitzer, the last century philosopher, he was a humanitarian, scientist, theologian, writer. I grew up knowing Albert Schweitzer's life. He was the founder of the Hospital of Gabon, West Central Africa, winner of the 1952 Nobel Peace Prize. I was young. For his philosophy of reverence for life, he gave the opinion that example is not the main thing in influencing people. Example is not the main thing in influencing people. It is the only thing. He stated, example is leadership. A good example has twice the value of good advice. And the three most important ways to lead people is by example, by example, and by example. Example is not the main thing in influencing people, it's the only thing. When we raise children, they see our example and then they imitate us. That's why, as a parent, you always want to do the right thing in front of your children. Because they're going to follow you. They're going to follow your example. They're going to listen to your words. It's not a do as I say, not as I do thing. Example is so much of an influence. And we still need words. Decades later, Billy Graham, you know, he was a mainstream evangelist and theologian. I guess his son is still doing his work. I think Billy Graham Jr., I think it's a junior, still doing the work. He stated, the influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know and absorb, they being the children, know and absorb her example and attitudes when it comes to questions of honesty, temperance, kindness, and industry. I had the opportunity to spend a few hours at the DMV. I think all of us have that opportunity. And while I was sitting, I had an appointment, but while I was sitting there waiting, a mom came up with a pram, a baby carriage, and she was in line. And I watched the little person in the baby carriage looking up at mom, watching her every movement. She's having a conversation with the gal behind the counter, someone behind her, and she's having these conversations. And I just watched the little person watch her turn, watch everything about mom was her focus. Little people learn from the parents. They learn. They learn our mannerisms. They learn philosophy of life. Proverbs 22:6, we won't go there, but it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Parents set the example, and they show the how and the why. They teach with words, and they teach without words. I remember my father smoked. He ate poorly. He drank pots and pots of coffee. I mean, he killed himself by the age of 60. But he would give me commands, and he would say, literally, do as I say, not as I do. Because I was kind of mouthy and would talk back to him about him doing things. And he would come back and say, do as I say, not as I do. I learned there are certain things not to do in life. One was smoking. It was as dumb as it gets. I understand the addiction. I understand how difficult it is. I watched my mom go through ashtrays in the morning when she didn't have a cigarette, and she would look for anything to light up. Horrific addiction. Horrific addiction. Brigham Young is Mormon. He stated, we should never permit ourselves to do anything that we are not willing to see our children do. We should set them an example that we would wish them to imitate. How important is an example of what we do and what we say? Being an example. Preach often, use words if necessary. I will continue using that questionable phrase because it works for the sermon. Preach often. What you do is a way of preaching what lives in your heart. And then use words. And it can be necessary. So let's note God's interest in our using and being examples. The Greek New Testament contains a handful of terms that are rendered in English as the word example. Now the word Digma, D-E-I-G-M-A, that's Greek 1164, denotes that which is shown a specimen of anything. And in Jude 1, we can go to Jude 1. Hey, Jude. Oh, sorry. It's another story. In Jude 1, verse 7, talking about an example of Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude declares that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah serves as an example of judgment. So, in the word digma, it denotes that which is shown, an example of something. The term hupodigma literally means to show under, and this is a Greek word 5262, literally means to show under, suggests using it as a model, either for good or bad. Hebrews 4, verse 11, back a few pages. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Here's an exhortation given to us. Verse 11, Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So the example could be good or bad. Here, Israel's example of apostasy in the wilderness was a bad example. So it literally means to show as a model. We would not follow Israel's example of leaving God's word as they did in the wilderness. Here we have the bad example. Okay, a third word that is translated as example, the Greek tupos, which is in Strong's is G5179. There'll be a test, I'm sure. I'll never give it, but that's okay. Tupos denotes a print or an image formed by impression. Here's an impression, an example or an impression of. Elders are to be examples of the flock. 1 Peter 5:3. Here's an exhortation for me, and I would suggest all of us. 1 Peter 5, the word here, tupos, means to give an impression. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory which will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, nor for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Should I stop there? Right. Nor as being lords over them, over those who entrust you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. My job is to be an example in word and deed. And by the way, I'm human. I have my issues, just as everyone else does. I have my fights with myself. I have to overcome. But my job is to be an example, as it says here, to be an impression, an example for the flock of God. Now there is, as in digma, there is also a hupotuposis. In secular Greek, it means to show by example. 2 Timothy 1. This is to denote a behavior pattern of action. Hupo tuposis G5296, if you want to put that down for a Strong's reference. G5296, This is secular grief as an outline or sketch, literally to show by example. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The pattern of sound words. We look to God's word. It is a pattern for life. That's why I will continue to harp on. One of these days I'm going to bring in a harp, because I harp on certain things. We are to live by the kingdom of God today to show the world what is coming tomorrow. That is our life. Our calling is personal. It is between me and God. It's that exciting. But now it's also to be an example to the world around me. To be the world around me. And to show a pattern of sound words that we have heard from God through His scriptures, through His words. How important is that? So that's hupotuposis. One, two, three. And there's one more. The word hupogrammos, G5261, literally means to write under. Means it's a written copy. This term is used to describe the example of the sinless life Jesus Christ lived and endured, suffering on our behalf. That was a copy of. He was a copy of the image of God the Father. First Peter 2:21. Now I know there are some preachers on the internet and on TV and on radio who will tell you that if you follow Christ, life is going to be easy. It's going to be the best thing you've ever happened. Years and years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Reverend Ike down in Los Angeles. And he would hold up his Rolex in front of the camera, and he would tell you of health, wealth, and there was three parts to his teaching. Health, wealth, and prosperity. And that was his ministry. But it was for him, because he was taking everything from the people who would send in money. Let's read what Peter wrote here about our life. First Peter 2:21. For to this you were called. This is our calling. This is what we are to be part of. Because Christ also suffered for us. He suffered. His sacrifice at the time of his death was more than just physical. It was emotional. It was mental. It was definitely physical. For Jesus Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. It may follow for each of us that we will have difficulties in our life. And we are to endure as Jesus Christ did. He endured suffering on our behalf as our sacrifice. It was so important for us to understand that life isn't health, wealth, and prosperity, but that we may also suffer. And He set the example. Jesus Christ is literally the perfect example from Scripture. So what does all this mean for us? What does it mean for me or for you? Well, God set the example and tells us to follow Him. Let's go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 19. And grab a thought here. Leviticus 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" They needed to change a heart. They were to be a holy people before the world because they were following God. Their example was going to be a representation of God in their life. That's an important distinction. Well, we could say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's them. That's when God was dealing with the nation of Israel. Companion scripture, Matthew 5. Some of you already know where I'm going. Matthew 5, verse 48. Well, let's have that whole thought. There's a paragraphical thought here. We'll begin in 43 to 48. You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And that was a phrase. I mean, we love those that love us. But I say to you, you love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Well, Jesus Christ did that. He sacrificed himself for all mankind. He said, I'm dying even for those who are killing me. Jesus Christ's example was different. He's saying, do what I do. We just read that. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I take care of my creation. And those who are not called today will be called tomorrow. Everyone is going to have the opportunity to be in the body of Christ. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? You know, the tax collectors had such a reputation, they were not well liked at all. Verse 48, therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Whoa! That's going to be hard to do. How are we going to be perfect? We follow the example of Jesus Christ. He just said, pray for those who are your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Be a different person, because from the heart, love the world around you. Not love the world, but love those in the world, because I love them. They're my creation. Even if they hate you. And I fear the closer we get to the time of Jacob, it's going to get worse. I've got a study coming up on the Trinity and how this is becoming a litmus test on this world's acceptance of those who call themselves Christian. I have a friend, and I'll bring this up at another time, but he tried to take an online class, and he mentioned in his profile the group that he was attending with, and they rejected him because we reject the Trinity, even though the Trinity cannot be proven in the book. You have to accept it blindly that it is doctrine. So we'll get into that another time. We are to be perfect. God says to ancient Israel, be holy because I'm holy. Here he says, be perfect because God, our Father in heaven, is perfect. It's a change of heart. And we have to look at the example of God in our book. If we are to enter into the kingdom of God, we need to think, act, and live according to the kingdom of God now, today. Setting the example of God's word in action. To be living examples of God and Christ in us today, to everyone around us. They need to see the example. The phrase came up a while back, and here I go again harping, WWJD. Situation comes up, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, we're not the arbiters, because we can come up with, and the world does come up with a wild, wild list of things of what Jesus would do. There was a gal who was a star of pornography, believing that she could do that and still be a Christian, because she had the heart of love for other people. Jesus Christ was a servant. He was a teacher. He cared for and suffered and sacrificed himself for us. He gave his life as an example for us, to show us how to live with God in the kingdom. And by our actions, what we do and what we say, people will know what principles, what guidelines and influences we are under, so that they would know who our teacher is. Acts 4, please. In the book of Acts, we're shown the influence Jesus had on the apostles. It was a deep influence. And they are known by following Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, Peter and John had been arrested. They were giving answers to the lifestyle that they had, answers to why they did what they did because of what they believed. You know, when you believe something, you have actions that follow. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, there was confidence in the words that they were using, confidence in the foundation upon which those words were spoken, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They weren't from the seminaries. They weren't from the university of the day. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus Christ. They recognized that the influence on John and Peter was from Jesus Christ. They took the knowledge that they had been with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had been their example. Paul tells us that we are to imitate him. He is an example for us as he imitates and follows Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 11. How important is it to set the right example? You know, raising my girls, I wanted them to understand the Sabbath. I wanted them to understand food laws. So they had a physical understanding, and when they got older, they took that and then took it a step further and changed their heart. I had to set the example for them. I was that example of Jesus Christ for them. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate means to follow, means to see an example of. Paul was teaching what he had been taught. He was setting an example of what he understood. And he would teach those who, and say, look, as the Bereans, go to the Scripture. Look at Scripture. See if I'm saying things right. See if I'm doing things right. Search the Scriptures. Prove my example. And his words and his actions were correct. 1 Timothy 4. Man, I'm having you all over the Bible today. That's okay. 1 Timothy 4. Paul was teaching Timothy. And again, when I think of the teachers here, this room is filled with teachers. How many years ago I started serving here and I said, by now you should be teachers. I still use that scripture because by now you should be able to teach what you have been taught. So Paul is telling Timothy here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Timothy, of course, was a young man when he was called. He says, let no one despise your youth and be an example to the believers in word, conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Basically, in everything you do and say. Be an example to believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity in everything you say. Be an example of God's mind to all of us, to all people around you. I had a college friend. Well, hopefully I had many more than just one. Name was Henry Doerr. Henry was a very quiet, unassuming fellow. We graduated same year, 1974. Don't do the math. He died about 25 years ago, give or take. No, probably longer than that. Wow. 37 years. He died very young. He had a heart issue. He was healthy. He ran. He was a runner. But we had a conversation one time. He was working for a difficult manager. Nobody liked the manager. Everyone talked behind the back of the manager. They whispered in meetings. They just didn't like him. Everyone engaged in tearing down the manager. Everyone except Henry. Everyone except Henry. One day the manager called Henry into his office, shut the door, pointed Henry to a seat, sat down behind his desk, and proceeded to pour out his heart to Henry, the only man who worked for him that he could trust. Because Henry was the only man that exhibited a Christian attitude. He had no one else to talk to. He was having difficulties at home. He had his difficulties with his wife. He had difficulties with his children. And Henry had set such an example at work, a quiet example. You don't talk about this. This is who you are. And you set the example. He set such an example that the boss, burdened by such great difficulties, was able to approach Henry in trust, seeking words of comfort and advice. Henry's been gone, it's got to be more than 30 years now. And I still carry that example in my head, that what I do and what I say is so profound to the people around me that it could affect them, and I could be a help to them because of the example I set. The manager came to Henry because he trusted him. Not because they had conversations and they were close friends, but he was the only man in his office that he could trust. That is a powerful example. John 13. John 13. Just as Peter and John were known to be Christ followers because of the influence that was evident in their lives. John 13, verse 34. And some people take this as, well, it does away with the Ten Commandments, because it starts out by saying, a new commandment I give to you. Well, that does away with the old Ten. No, this is just a new commandment. This is a composite. This is working on the heart, not just the physical output. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And we know he loved us from the heart because he sacrificed his life for us. He shed his blood and took a horrible beating on our behalf. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know, everybody around us, because we have love one for another, because we share a bond through God's Holy Spirit, and we love each other and our enemies and those who abuse us and those who are spiteful to us. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. We are Christ's disciples if you have love one for another. We will be known as Christ followers. We will be known as Christians if we have love one for another. If we show godly love, there will be evidence of it in our lives. There will be evidence of it in our lives. Being an example is important. It shows the influence in our lives, and it points back to that which is our major influence, Jesus the Christ. Now, Peter had counsel for those who were called. And I remember my early years, it was difficult to see a wife called and not the husband, or the husband called and not the wife. And even young people called without the parents, because it could be very difficult. So, 1 Peter 3. How important is an example? 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And I've seen husbands enamored with their wife see a chaste and loving and caring and Christian example of the wife, not preaching and not pounding on his head because he doesn't understand, but set the example and be converted. that when, verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Oh, sorry, let me finish that. Yes. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, won over by the example. Preach often, use words if necessary. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Their example was so profound, they were won over. We're told in Scripture over a number of places that we are to be lights. You know, you can put a candle in a room in a dark night and it'll illuminate the whole room. We illuminate a different way of life by our example, one that leads to eternal life, that we are to be different. As I mentioned, I tried in my high school years to fit in, and it didn't fit in with what I was being taught, and I tried to hide myself. That wasn't going to work. There's another story I want to share. It's unknown in its accuracy. It's on the internet, therefore it must be true. I mean, if the internet is good enough for Abraham Lincoln, it's good enough for me. There was a time, but I like the idea, and I think this very much could happen because I could see it in my mind. Someone knew a direction. Someone had an understanding and then helped out others. The time was old London, and it was the turn of the last century, and if you remember anything about London at that time, you had fog and fireplaces and smog, and it was just a mess. You had a mix of smoke with the chimneys, and people literally could not see their next step. I've got photographs of how bad it was in the 30s and 40s. Literally, you couldn't see past your face. You had fog alerts, that type of thing. One fellow who was new to the city was lost and came upon a young lad who was holding a lantern and seemed to know his way about. And he stopped the young fellow and offered him a shilling. A shilling at that time was about $7.31, our money today. It was a goodly sum. If he would lead the man to his hotel. Set the example, let me follow you and the lantern to my hotel, because I have no clue. You don't know what street you're on. You don't know if you're going to get run over by a horse and carriage. And the young fellow said, I'll take you there. The young man knew the way. He accepted the assignment, held his lantern high, and led the way. He was confident that he could set the example for the man following him. Confident in his directions, he led him right to the front door of the hotel. He was familiar. He could set the example. When they arrived, the gentleman was greatly relieved and gave him the agreed-upon shilling. Whereupon, three other gentlemen who followed the light to the front of the hotel door did the same. I don't know if it's a true story. I think it could have happened. I've been in London when there's fog, and it wasn't that bad because of changes in rules and such. But it's nasty stuff. The young man could set the example. Follow me and I'll take you right to the door. And because he was doing that, three other fellows followed that light to the hotel. He didn't know about those three. Sometimes we don't know who we are impacting, who we are influencing because of our example. Sometimes we just don't know. What kind of example do we set to those around us? Is our example one might follow to the entrance of the kingdom of God? I certainly hope it is, that we are all setting the example. There is that cutesy little question I think I brought up last time I spoke here, running around on the internet. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life to be convicted? That's a good way of putting it. Would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Our example, what we do and what we say, is going to have an impact on everyone we come in contact with. I gave this example, was it here or in San Jose? I forget which. I don't remember. I'm getting old. That's okay. If you've heard it before, humor me. My last years at the old rocket factory, I had a team of individuals, and they really knew me. And this is, I think, the fourth year of the special assignment I was on. And I uttered an expletive out loud when I found something seriously out of place. And people came running because Fred doesn't use that language. I was not known for that language. I always had control of my language. I have someone in my team who every third, fourth word was a sailor's word. And something, I really can't tell you about it, but something I discovered was out of place, and I uttered something, and they all came running because Fred doesn't say that. I had to repent of what I said. They knew me. My example was good language, right language. Our example impacts those around us, and we set the example that God's way works. God's way works. Examples are necessary. I can read instructions, but I need to see how it's done. Show me. Show me how you do it, and then I could do it with my hands. I don't learn everything by the words. I learn by example. When I was teaching scuba, I learned to follow the example of my instructor. And I was a very good student, because you know, when I was 3 months old, I had gills, and they closed up after a while. I just loved the water. But when I became an instructor, I recognized I needed to set the example of always teaching to swim within the envelope of safety. Because it really is. You make a mistake, it's life and death. So I was always in the center of the envelope. I never put myself on the edge. And my students were all safe divers. We had classroom instruction. Yes, you had to pass the classroom, but you also had to pass the application. You had to show and demonstrate that you could be a safe diver. And that put the requirement on me to really be safe, to show that this way works. The same is true in our lives. The same is true at work, at home, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, that what we do and what we say is an example of God's way working, is an example of God's way of life. And it can be a powerful tool to helping others figure out what works and what doesn't work in life. And God's way certainly works. Colossians 3, as we get close to winding up here, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, let's just begin the whole paragraph there, that thought that is written for us. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, God's Spirit is in us. There's God's Spirit which makes us a holy people. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You're a different person now. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if everyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We forgive one another. We have a whole different life. But above all these things, put on love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest gift that God gives us is love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And verse 17 becomes a great command for all of us. And whatever you do in word or deed, whatever we say, whatever we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Having the right word at the right time and sharing the right example at the right time. Preach often. Use words if necessary. Use words if necessary. I'm going to give you one more example I've used before, but it's a good way of closing this message. I served at our camps Sue and I served at camps for 27 years. It was our way of giving back to our young people. I always enjoyed the idea that we get to show that God's way works. We were at Bass Lake. I think it was Silver Lake Camp. And twice a day, groups would come out to Bass Lake. I was the waterfront supervisor. I was a lifeguard. And twice a day, two groups of kids would come out to the Bass Lake, and they would have a half a day with me, and they would do that twice during the week. Of course, I'm thrilled to that. But I will always remember Bass Lake before the kids got there. This was the second or third year we were there, and you get there early, and you make sure that there's no obstructions in the water. You make sure there's nothing on the beach that'll hurt kids, and you set up. Now, I have a Panama hat. It's rather distinct. And I was there by myself cleaning up, and these four gals came up to me. No kids there. I'm just setting up for the kids. And they came, and they said, "What group are you with?" Now, I'm by myself. "What group are you with?" And I said, "We're with the United Church of God, and we have youth camps for our young people." And these four ladies said, "We had to come and talk to you because we saw you last year. We saw your example last year. We saw the kids last year, and we had to tell you how impressed we were with the attitudes and the actions of your kids." This was a year later. It was still on their mind, and they had to come up to me and talk to me about our kids from last year. Our example, we don't know who it's going to reach. We don't know when it's going to reach. We don't know when God can open their minds because of the example of what we do and the example of what we say. But what we do in life is we are to preach often and sometimes actually use words. Actually use words. Let's conclude with Titus 2. You'll be happy to note I cut out a whole page of material. Titus 2. Here we're talking about, again, we're talking about the preacher, we're talking about the bishop, we're talking about the minister, we're talking about you and I, because by now you should be teachers. Go to Hebrews. It says, by now you should be teachers, because this has become a way of life. You now live this from the heart, and you should be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within you to anyone who asks. And people will ask because of your example. Verse 7, For the bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, nor given to wine, nor violent, not violent, nor greedy for money. That's all of us. There's nothing in there that doesn't apply to all of us here. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Again, all of us in this room has this required. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We are to be example of Jesus Christ in all things. We are to be an example in everything we've been taught. There is that adage of that can be quite telling, that what you do speaks louder than what you say. I've seen that in recent times when you see on television someone saying one thing and then their life doesn't support what they just said. Our example should be consistent with what we should be doing. Our words should be consistent with what we say. Again, it's not do as I say, not as I do. Our example needs to be consistent as Paul's when he stated to those moving from paganism to Christianity, to those needing a guide, to show them the way, that we should also be able to say, follow Paul as he followed Christ. And hopefully I'm getting better at following Christ so that I can say, well, this is what I've learned, and let me set an example. Preach often. Use words if necessary. Hope that was helpful.